coming up on episode 116 of TritonCast, we're previewing the UC San Diego men's soccer season with head coach John Pascal. With the season set to kick off Thursday in North Carolina, we'll learn about what to expect from this year's squad, from key returners to new faces to a daunting schedule right out of the gate. Our men's soccer season preview is in the Triton Spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 116 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or on your favorite podcast platform, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Congrats to Sarah Lazat, who was named the new head women's water polo coach. If you've been with us a while here on the show, we chatted with Sarah way back in episode 8 when she was playing professionally in Spain. We'll see if she can make time for us to appear on the show once again here soon. Another Triton is set to begin his pro career. Men's basketball sharpshooter Tyler McGuy has signed a contract to join a team in Spain. And back here in La Jolla, how about the start for women's soccer forward Ava Tybor? Playing in her first game as a Triton, she scored twice in the season opener versus Cal, and Tybor's brace helped earn her Big West Freshman of the Week honors. Congrats, Ava. Well, now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Our conversation is with men's soccer head coach John Pascal. Set to enter his 18th season in La Jolla, John recently sat down with ESPN's David Gentile to preview the 2025 campaign.
Coach, let's take it back to the spring, because that's where the new season really always starts. When you first got a look at the new crew you were going to have coming into the fall, what were some priorities for you in that spring season?
Well, right off the bat, we wanted to kind of reestablish a culture. I think we graduated a few players, and Max Carvalho, Carter Jacobus, Jonah Kawara, that really have been the leaders of the team for the last couple of years. And so those guys have moved on, and we wanted to see who was going to step up from a leadership standpoint and really challenge the guys on what they want it to look like. And then making sure they're living up to those standards that they set. So that's always such an enjoyable part of the year, the winter. So much of it is that culture building, and they responded really well. And it gave guys like Evan Wellerstein, Nolan Premack, and Adam Hillis an opportunity to really establish themselves as leaders, not to mention a whole core of guys that have been in the program a little bit that are great leaders as well. The Cole Barretts and Dylan Hoyes and Brian Aarons and Matt Lins of the world. I'm sure I'm leaving a one or two out, but letting those guys set the standard for the rest of the group, knowing we were going to have a young team this year. We're bringing in a lot of new faces who are going to need some experienced veterans to kind of show them the way. So that was really key to kind of establish that in the winter and spring. And there were some fun days where we really had to press them and challenge them out there on the field and see how they responded. And we kept at it until we were getting the responses that I think we wanted, that we think were where we think the team could go.
Can you give us an example of what are one or two things in those spring training sessions that you really said, okay, this is, we're going to put the screws to these guys. We're going to make them go to work and see what we got.
For sure. I mean, look, college soccer gives you a lot of, in the winter, you have these 8 hours a week and you're out there training, and it's like 9 months before your next game. And so trying to be creative and find ways to challenge the team and just see if you can challenge them to embrace the challenge and not let the challenge break them, but to get them, you're doing some conditioning or running. Can you get them to a point where get them asking for more? And maybe they don't want the more, but they're not going to let me break them a little bit, and they're going to embrace it. And the harder the challenges go, I think the more enthusiasm, the more excitement they would build to try to challenge me to challenge them. I don't know if that makes sense. It's a little bit hard to give specific examples, but man, they had some days out there where they were working pretty hard and really pushing each other on quite a bit. And when one guy was struggling, the rest of the group kind of was there to pick them up.
So from the spring into the fall, you got to play three exhibition matches this year. San Diego State, Arizona Western, a great JUCO program, and LMU. What were your biggest takeaways from those three friendlies?
We got a pretty good team. Our takeaways that we got a pretty good team, and that the young guys we brought in can play. no doubt. You know, I do think with some youth, there is some inexperience and there can be a few mistakes, which I think every team goes through at preseason. But certainly San Diego State, I mean, we had stretches of that game where I thought we were on them more so than we've ever happened, probably in the past. You know, Arizona Western was an opportunity really for, you know, we scheduled that one the night before LMU. It wasn't ideal, but the way I approached that game was, look, I want to get my kind of maybe second rotation guys and the third rotation guys who didn't get a chance to play at San Diego State. I wanted to give them a full match against a real team to, one, get some experience, because we know how the season goes, and at some point we're gonna need to rely on those players. So we wanted them to have a real opportunity before we get there, and two, just an opportunity to prove us wrong. You know, we have to make some decisions on guys in a very short period of time, and that's always hard to get all of them right. And some guys do need that opportunity to perform to prove you wrong. So we really wanted to give them the platform to do that. And it was a fun game, and it was back and forth. We found ourselves down a couple goals, and I thought we saw like the character and resilience of the team come through and come back and find a way to get two goals and equalize it late, again, against a very tricky, dangerous team. And then LMU was a really good lesson for us, because they brought physicality, they brought energy, they brought some different shapes that we hadn't maybe quite seen yet, and really kind of forced us to deal with those. And I thought we made a few mistakes in that game, which, look, those are the times of year that you want to make it so you can go back and work on it so it doesn't happen again. But a really challenging physical game, which is college soccer. It's what we're going to face day in and day out. And I thought all three of those scrimmages brought a little of that fall real game feel to it. Where guys were going in hard. The time on the ball was pretty minimal. And things were happening pretty quick. And I thought we had stretches really in all three games where I thought the team looked pretty good.
And you get to see your group against another set of teams. With the impression you have of your guys so far this year, what's new and what's different compared to how you guys finished from last season's team?
Yeah, I think we've improved the technical level of the team. The qualities on the ball, the comfortability on the ball, I think is really, you've seen it in the games. Just guys are able to do more on the ball. Again, we're going to have to learn the details, and those little plays certainly add up. Those are something that we got to be sharp on. And again, I thought the, especially in the Arizona Western game, the ability to score on restarts is huge. So, you know, those are really kind of the things we saw. I think we can dictate some tempos of the games this year. We really have to limit some of those mistakes in the back half of the field. And if we can be, in the positive and the kind of the restart goal area, I think we'll be in pretty good shape.
Your first three matches are away from home, and boy, it's really get up and go right out of the gates for you guys. You got Furman and Duke, a couple NCAA tournament teams, and a Cal squad that really closed the season strong. They had some big wins and a solid run in the ACC tournament last year. This is nothing new for you. It's scheduling tough. It's trying to get battle tested and get ready for Big West play. You've got San Diego as well in non-conference. They made a great NCAA tournament run last year. What does all of that do to help your team get battle tested by the time conference comes around?
Yeah, look, if you got to be excited about that schedule. We have nothing to lose going into those games, everything to gain. Catching results against any of those opponents will put you on the map pretty quickly. Pretty excited about it. Again, we wanted, especially with a young team, I wanted to show them what those top caliber teams look like and really measure ourselves up against those, because that's ultimately where we're headed. And look, if you look at our conference schedule, the Big West politely scheduled us three of our first four on the road, and I think four of our first six on the road, right? So I wanted to make sure by the time we get to conference, that we had seen everything the conference was going to throw at us. We had been in some of the toughest places in the country to play. When we go to Sac State and it's hot, well, it's not going to be as hot as Durham, North Carolina. I can guarantee you that. So we definitely really wanted to challenge this group early so that we're prepared in that conference stretch.
You know, every point matters. There's no doubt about that in Big West play. We see it consistently year over year. And you did a good job picking up points at home last year in conference play, 3-1-1. What was it about being at Triton Soccer Stadium that you guys leaned into in those home matches to try and keep pace with the Big West?
Yeah, it's a great place to play. It might be arguably the best place in the conference to play, I think. So the guys get excited and we play well at home. We get the fans to support us and we love the idea of having it be a really tough place to play for the other team. And last year, that's where we were at our best, with the exception of the Riverside game, which I thought we let slip away. Certainly they did a great job managing that game and lead through a long stretch of the game. But I think we outshot them 19-3 and had some pretty good looks. And again, I think that we get those couple points. We were playing into the postseason. And I think the way my team was playing at certain points of the year, we could have made a run in that tournament for sure. But you got to get points on the road. That's the key. That's the secret. Again, going back to why we scheduled such a challenging opening portion of the schedule is to learn how to be good on the road. And again, that's where it comes down to those details and not giving away anything and being the team that capitalized on the other team mistakes. And so it's going to, again, it's going to be a really great learning experience for us, a really great challenge. And I think we're good enough to go and get a result.
Men's soccer head coach John Pascal with us here on TritonCast. Let's get into this group of student athletes, and I want to start in the back. You've got a great veteran leader in Nolan Premack. How much does his leadership add to your team with such a young group coming into this year?
So key, and I think Nolan's really come a long, long way from a leadership standpoint. I think last year was challenging for him initially transferring into UCSD. It's such a unique place, especially with the academic demands of the school. But I thought he really made a lot of growth in the leadership area, and we see him already just a different person, taking those guys under his reins a little bit, having a really positive voice, help pushing the team forward. It's been great to work with him. That really, we saw that shift kind of happen, you know, mid to late winter this year. So that's been good. And he's seen the NCAA tournament, you know, a couple years. So that experience that he has is certainly valuable to us. That's what we want to experience. That's what we want to be. He's been in, you know, two conference finals. Again, that's where we want to end up. So he's been on some teams that have done it. So we're certainly going to lean into that experience.
Yeah, no doubt. And come up big in some big penalty shootouts. There's really no substitute for what he's been through at this level. So he's in between the pipes, and in front of him, once again, you've got Evan Wellerstein. This is a day one guy for you at center back. What has Evan added to his game as a starter over the last 2 years?
Yeah, he's really matured. You know, he's really matured. He got thrown into the fire pretty early. So now he's been battle tested. He's seen the opponents before. And now we're asking him really to kind of step up as a leader, as a voice. He has a good, really good voice, a little bit of a quieter voice, but a good one, one that when he speaks, I think a lot of guys listen. He's worked extremely hard. That was like kind of the conversations with him over this last year that, hey, you know, you want guys to respect you, that, you know, make sure you are going above and beyond on the field and the weight room and everything you do to show the whole team that you are here for all the right reasons. And you want to get this team to where it really wants to go and get the rest of the guys to get on board with that. And he did just that. I mean, the guys really rallied around him quite a bit in the spring. He had a great spring for us, played really, really well. So I'm looking forward to him having a great year.
Want to talk about the couple of all freshman team picks from last year that you have back. And well, for starters, Quinn Sellers, not easy to come at this level and be an everyday starter. That's what he did for you. What's the next step for him in the midfield for this year?
Yeah, look, I think he is as talented on the soccer ball as anybody in the conference. He can do things that a lot of others can't. I think the challenge for him and for us is, can we take that ability and turn that into goals and chances and assists while still being able to manage all the other responsibilities of a center midfielder? There are not, generally not too many guys out there that just get complete freedom to only attack. So he has to play on both ends of the ball, which I thought was a really big learning curve for him last year. And now this year, I do think he understands what it takes to be a two-way midfielder. And again, I think we can see more goals, more assists out of him, more facilitating the attacks, especially with a little bit more technical team around him. I think he is in position to potentially have a really good year.
One of the guys he'll look to set up an attack is Kai Oppenheim, the other all-freshman pick from last year. And I think about Kai's season, I think about moments, that double he had against Air Force, including the match winner, scoring from inside your own half, got a match winner at Cal Poly, and really made a great impact. Tell me about his jump coming into year two.
Yeah, well, look, not many guys will work harder in the gym and after practice than Kai. He puts in a ton of time into his game, and he's just such a handful for the other team because of his physicality. But we've seen a big jump in his ability to score. His ability on the soccer ball has taken a big jump. He's put a lot into that, which has been great. I think, if the team's playing well, he's a key part of it for sure. He'll be, I would imagine he'll end up on the other team's radar a little bit this year. I think last year he's a little bit unknown, so guys will key in on him. But I think, I think he's put in the work where now he has a couple more facets to his game than he did last year. I thought last year he was a great post-up player, played into him. He can hold up the ball and find some guys underneath it. And now this year, again, he's got a little bit more to him, which I'm excited to see how that translates. And we'll certainly be looking for him to get us some goals.
Couple other returners to talk about, and I want to start with James Reddington, guy who's really come in and seen a lot of minutes for you, and another key for the team this year.
Yeah, gosh, he's a talented player. This will really be his fourth year in a row, three with us, one at Santa Clara where he played major minutes. When we can get him in the ball, we can get him the ball in certain areas of the field, there's nobody better. His ability to dribble and shift and get past guys and whip crosses and shots in the box from a defending position. So he comes from deeper up the field and joins those attacks a little late. He's really good at those things. And now he's had, like I said, that experience is going to be so important, especially with the number of young guys we have on the field. But man, when James is good, we are good. That is for sure.
Bryce Barnum, another guy to keep an eye on. He was somebody as a Duke transfer, really excited about coming into last year. Limited, wasn't really able to see the pitch a lot. Now he's ready to go for you. And he got one of your goals as well in preseason against San Diego State. What is Bryce going to add to this group?
Oh, he adds so much, and I thought he was a little bit of a missing piece to the team last year. He's had to overcome so much just to get to this point, a number of injuries, and it has shaped him. It has not let, they have not broken him. He has risen to that challenge of rehab and recovery every time. So when he comes onto the field and he's healthy like he is now, man, there's nobody that works harder than that guy. The amount of ground he covers, his defending, his pressing on one second, and then the next second he's up the field. And he's one of these few guys that has some quickness to get around you 1v1, but also has like the composure to really complete some passes and combine. So I think he's an exciting player to watch and somebody I've loved coaching. I'm really excited for him to get a good full season in, because he's deserved it. That's for sure.
These are a lot of student athletes that Triton fans will know and be familiar with. A lot of new student athletes coming in this year that they will soon get familiar with. You've got 10 freshmen, 12 sophomores, 8 upperclassmen on this year's group. So big incoming group of freshmen. Which of those guys do you see having an impact in year one?
Yeah, I got to say, this might be the best class we've put together, maybe ever. And I do think, looking at the personalities, I think it's going to be a special class. And when it's all said and done, it's going to be a special group of guys that are going to be really close. and are going to leave their stamp on this program already from day one. We've seen guys like Sean Ueda has stepped into the starting role in the center midfield and has not skipped a beat. Ian Mai, again, has started both two of the three scrimmages at left back and trying to fill the shoes of Carter Jacobus, which is pretty big to do, and he looks like a really exciting player. Liam Murden is a transfer, you know, tall, fast, left-footed center defender. He is going to allow us to do some things that we haven't been able to do before. And there's a lot of them. Gavin Allegaard has an ability to score goals like I haven't seen. His finishing is incredible. Masa Fujita, again, is just an exceptional two-way midfielder. Is fast and can connect passes, but also get dangerous and score. And then a guy like Adam Dunbar, who hasn't, you know, he's been a little bit injured. He's just getting back into injury. I think we're going to see some, you know, exciting plays come out of him. I know I'm leaving a few guys out, but again, I've already rattled off quite a few. And in a short period of time, they've been an amazing group to coach, and we're really looking forward to kind of that journey. I do think the program is in good hands, building it, you know, in the future to build around them.
And we were talking before we started the interview about how college soccer is getting older, and a lot of programs are looking to go in, build through the portal, get that immediate experience. But tell me about building through a bigger freshman class on your side of things and how you think that'll impact the team this year and down the road.
Yeah, I just think we've decided to go with cohesion, you know, guys that we've been able to coach for multiple years versus the one and done or two and you're out. And we want guys who have real connection to the program that bleed for UCSD, where it means everything to them. Sometimes I think that's hard to do when you're in for a year, you're out for a year. And that's, I just don't think that's necessarily us. Now, we'll certainly still have a guy or two that comes through the program from the transfer window. But some guys with years of eligibility for us to help mold and grow, I think is really important in our recruiting and getting those personalities right, where they're good kids, hard workers, really reliable on the field, guys you're going to really enjoy being around every day. And that's going to make the wins that much greater and us being able to recover and respond from the losses that much quicker. I think that's what you see when you have some cohesion. And again, I think we had a philosophy that we decided that we wanted to lean into being a little bit young, and lean into some of that energy and build the team around some classes. Because I do think, you know, it's soccer, there's 11 guys on the field. It's a team sport. And I think that cohesion will play a big part in our success.
And you mentioned enjoying being around the young guys every day. What has been fun for you as a coach about that?
Well, you see their excitement. You know, they come in and they're excited to be here, and they're grateful for that opportunity. And, you know, they're looking at the veteran guys, how to do things. And you could really, really mold them. And, you know, from having done this long enough, you know, the journey they're about to embark on. They have no idea, but, you know, the ups and the downs and those winter sessions that we were talking about early that they're going to have to grind through. And we're going to get to push them past their limits and try to get every ounce of potential out of them. And by the end of the day, you know, at the end of their career, you know, they're going to look back and absolutely love the opportunity or love the experience that they've had here and go on to continue to be each other and part of each other's lives, you know, through jobs and weddings and just like the alumni are doing now. We get to see them kind of move on into different chapters of their life, but still be connected to the guys that they played with. I think that's like such an amazing experience as a coach, whether they won or lost, played or didn't play. Seeing them in that next chapter is really exciting, and having a team that you get to shape those young guys for success in the future, you know, and through the sport, through hard work, through teamwork, through resilience and pushing them in all those, you know, pushing them in all those directions and putting them in all those situations and challenging them to respond appropriately, you know, that all goes and pays off. And when it does years later, and And it's a special thing, and especially when it pays off on the field and in wins, in trophies, in championships, and when you get that and the future, there's nothing better.
John Pascal of UC San Diego men's soccer. Coach, thank you for the time. Really looking forward to the season. Go out and get them this year.
Thanks, David. Appreciate your time as well.
All right, David, thank you. And thanks, Coach. Tough schedule right out of the gate, as you heard. The Tritons will take on Furman and Duke this week in Durham, North Carolina, and then travel north to Berkeley to face Cal on the road next weekend. The UC San Diego home opener is September 4th. Admission to all home matches is free, and if you can't make it out, you can follow the action all season long with David calling the play-by-play on ESPN+. Well, next week on TritonCast, we're previewing the men's water polo and the women's volleyball seasons, both of which are just a week away. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Well, thanks for listening to the show this week, and don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 116 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.